Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Most North Carolinians know they need to improve their diets by cutting down on the empty calories and consuming more fruits and vegetables. For too many people, however, eating healthier is not just a matter of choice and discipline. It's a matter of access. As a new report from the North Carolina Alliance for Health demonstrates, more than 2 million North Carolina residents, including nearly 500,000 children, live in under-resourced communities underserved by grocery stores. The resulting lack of nutritious, affordable food is imposing a significant toll on both rural and urban communities throughout the state, affecting their revitalization and the health of children and families. Recently, I sat down with one of the authors of the report, Alliance for Health Executive Director Morgan Whitman Grauman. Well, Morgan Whitman Grauman, welcome back to News and Views. So good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
The Alliance for Health has a new report, Supporting Healthy Food Access in North Carolina. And I think we all sort of have a general notion of, yeah, that's a good thing. We should have healthy food in our state. People ought to eat more of it. But talk to us a little bit more about the details of what's in the report.
Yeah, so the report came from a year-long effort from a number of organizations across the state where we came together and really talked about, okay, what are the barriers to accessing healthy food, and then what are some policy solutions that we feel like can help address access to healthy food? And I will note that we did get community input from this, which we feel is very important to hear from community members about what is affecting them and what they think the solutions may be. And ultimately came up with 8 recommendations that we feel like can help us get towards making sure that all people have access to the foods that they need to live a healthy life.
List them all for me right
away.
No, I'm
just
joking. I mean, if you're welcome to, but I mean, I'd love to get through some of them. I mean, we know that for a fact that food insecurity is, you know, a real problem for people just because they don't have access to stores, right? There's a lot of people who live in lower income neighborhoods. Even I thought that one of the most remarkable things was that people who live in rural areas often have more difficulty getting access to fresh fruits and vegetables than people in urban areas. That just seems so counterintuitive and shocking, but it points out that we've got some food distribution problems in our society.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that is addressed in the report is transportation. And we find that, especially in the rural areas, that there just isn't the public transportation and the bus systems available that we would have in urban areas. Not that by any means is it easy to lug groceries on a bus for multiple miles.
But if you live in small town North Carolina and you don't have your own garden or your own farm, then often getting to the store is just a huge
heavy lift. Exactly. And the store may be 20, 30 miles away. You know, time has to factor into that. Affordability has to factor into that. Transportation, of course. There are certainly a lot of barriers to being able to even get to a grocery store if one is available to you.
Perhaps it sounds like a cliche, but it's true that having a diet that is not rich in fruits and vegetables is a problem, right?
Absolutely. And we found that people that live closer to grocery stores tend to have diets that are more full of those fresh fruits and vegetables that and frozen too. I mean, it doesn't have to be fresh, but, you know, a more well-rounded diet than people who are mostly shopping at, you know, a convenience store or their corner market.
So figuring out ways to get stores that are full-service supermarkets located closer to people who are currently have no access is a priority, right? Ought to be a priority?
It should be a priority. And we're hoping that this report kind of highlights the need for that, and that it will help bring together public and private funders to be able to address that and hopefully get more grocery stores in areas where they're needed most.
Are there some other recommendations that sort of stand out, you know, you think people really ought to know about from this report?
Yeah, so obviously I've mentioned transportation. That's a huge one. Even if you do have access to a store, if you can't get to the store, then you're not going to get to the store, right? SNAP and WIC, so increasing the affordability and ability of people to purchase foods that they have access to.
We should say SNAP is the program that we used to call food stamps, and WIC is a program for women and infant children that is a supplement program. Talk to us a little bit more about those. They're not available to lots of people who could use them, right?
Right. They're not available to a lot of people. And then also we see that the people for whom they are available maybe don't have the resources to apply for them or don't realize that they qualify or aren't able to take advantage of them because maybe the store that they usually shop at doesn't accept those benefits. So there are a number of barriers to using those benefits. So we're hoping to address some of those and make them more widely accessible for people that for whom they would help.
Education, another important issue, right? I mean, again, for many of us who've been around a long time or old enough to think about it, it seems obvious, but there's some just basic reminders, basic lessons that a large proportion of our society really hasn't ever fully absorbed, the notions of what constitutes a healthy diet. What does it look like? What are the foods and drinks that we consume that are probably not good for us? That's something that just needs to, it's a message that needs to constantly be delivered, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, even if people do have access to healthy food, if they don't have the education and the knowledge to be able to make healthy choices when they're shopping, we're not going to increase their access to those foods. They're going to maybe not make choices that are as good as they could be, just simply because they don't know. They don't know that choosing one product over another can taste exactly the same, but maybe have half the sugar.
I always think of the example with, oh, I'm buying fruit juice for my children to drink, but in fact, it's maybe a fruit juice cocktail that's right. Actually sort of sugar water with a little bit of fruit juice in it,
exactly.
Right?
Much better to eat an orange than to drink orange juice.
Right. Well, there you go. You talked about transportation. What should we say about that? I mean, that's such a massive issue. Are there specific aspects of the transportation challenge in our society that really you think deserve some highlighting here?
I think access to public transportation certainly would have beneficial effects for more than just the healthy food access realm, right? Being able to get people to their jobs and to church and to the doctor. So that is certainly something that we hope will get a lot of attention in the future. But then also looking at kind of more innovative solutions, whether it's home delivery access or access to a taxi service or a car service that for a small amount of money would get you to a store, which we know would be a problem in rural areas where maybe those aren't around as much, but just starting to try and look at some of more innovative solutions.
This is a local issue in many respects. I mean, we know that each community is different and is going to need their own individual solution. But there are some overarching policy solutions, right, that our state lawmakers, the governor, regulators at the state level could be advancing.
Yeah, and I think the number one recommendation that we've put out is the Healthy Food Financing Initiative, which we really feel would have the biggest benefit, you know, across the state, allowing communities to kind of self-select the healthy food access solution that they think works best for them. So this public-private fund that communities could apply to.
So we create a fund at the state level.
Yes.
And we make it available to local governments, local community organizations. They can apply for funding to seed a new project that would bring healthy food, let's say, to a deprived community. Is
exactly.
That the idea?
Exactly. And it could be anything from trying to provide funding for a new grocery store to come in, or maybe working with a corner store that's already there, or creating a farmer's market. I mean, I think the solutions are broad and could be as creative as the community would want them to be.
But what they bespeak is the fact that there's a need for some intentionality. It's not going to just happen naturally, I guess, is maybe if we just leave it up to the vagaries of the free market, we'll have winners and losers in this situation. And that's not a solution really for a large chunk of our population.
Right. And we know that community input is so critical and that a lot of these solutions won't work unless the community is behind them, which is why we think that this approach could work to really allow the community to self-select what they feel like is going to be most beneficial to them.
We're probably not going to invent anything brand new here in North Carolina, but there are some ideas we could probably lift from other places, right? I mean, as I take it, a lot of these ideas that are advanced in the report probably come from those other places.
Yeah, the report has many examples from across the country of solutions that have been working in those areas. And I think the Healthy Food Financing Initiative was really created by the Food Trust out of Philadelphia. And they've had a lot of experience with implementing that and helping make it successful in states across the country. And the Food Trust was also included in this task force. So we definitely had their expertise as we were coming up with these recommendations.
Do we have an idea of how much we could use in the Healthy Food Financing Initiative? How much should the legislature be appropriating?
I think it would take at least 10 to 20 million to really get it started with, again, an investment as well from the private sector. So I think it's a considerable amount of money, but I think that that's really what's needed to make it as robust and successful as it can be.
But if you compare that to the health costs alone of obesity and poor nutrition habits, it would pay for itself in a pretty quick amount of time.
Certainly. Right? Certainly there would be some savings there.
Well, the report is definitely a must-read for folks. We urge you to check it out, Supporting Healthy Food Access in North Carolina. It's a report of the North Carolina Healthy Food Retail Task Force, which is pushed by the North Carolina Alliance for Health, right?
Yes, and it's available on our website, ncalliancefortheahealth.org.
Yeah, or you can just Google it. Check it out.
Yeah.
Again, Morgan, thank you so much for being with us. We'll do this again in a few months. Hopefully, we'll talk about the great success you've had at the General Assembly in getting this new financing initiative underway.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, North Carolina teachers rallied in Raleigh earlier this month. We'll talk to three of them about the issues that matter most to them.